The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, Dublin Airport had to deal with two major issues over the weekend, an evacuation of Terminal 2 and a cyber attack. Kevin Byrne, Lieutenant Colonel retired and Airport Safety and Security Auditor, joins us now. Good morning, Kevin.
Kira.
And I was speaking to Graeme McDowell from the DEA yesterday, and they were really hopeful that everything would be back to normal this morning because there was so much disruption on Saturday and Sunday. But that's not the case. It seems that it's taking that software provider, Collins Aerospace, a little bit longer to update all of that software. So break down exactly what happened here.
Okay. Well, it's a strange one. Although it's happened before, as you know, we've been subject to hacking in various parts of the world and various, you know, elements. But the aviation system, especially the airports part of it, is an ecosystem finely tuned, like with military precision. You have to do things in a certain way to a certain standard because of safety. And if you interfere with the electronic part of that, which is what we're all used to, in other words, 85% or more of us will check in online. I'm due to go through Terminal 2 tomorrow to Stockholm. I really, really hope things are worked out by then, because
it's a lovely city. I hope you don't miss it, Kevin.
So do I. I've work to do over there. But if the fundamental part goes wrong, any part of it, and you revert to manual, you've straight away taken people out of a system they're relying on like that. And you have to come to the airport, and then you have to have more staff. Because if I went to the airport last week and you drop your bag at a machine and you do it yourself, so there's only one person there where there used to be five or six. And that saves money and makes it very smooth, and we go to security. But if you knock out the system that allows people to look ahead and put, people into aircraft and take their baggage and all that, it's all done electronically. We keep tabs on that. Making it revert to manual is like something from the 1950s or 60s. It just really can't be done.
Mm. And the problem here was the cyber attack only focused on Brussels, Berlin and Heathrow, because they seem to have that particular package of software. But it just has the ripple effect, the repercussions on flights all over Europe beyond.
Collins Aerospace have a thing called Muse. It's some kind of software like that. Happens to be used in Berlin, Brussels and Heathrow, as you said, which are major hubs as well as being origin destinations. So the people who land and take off there want to do it. But if you're going to transfer, it makes it even more complex. Now, it's suspected that people who are living in St. Petersburg in Russia are essentially doing this. But they picked that particular company because obviously there's a weakness there, and they knew the effect would be straight away expensive, disruptive, and just done almost for the fun of it, because they're malevolent actors in that regard. It's cheap, it's non-kinetic, no lives are lost, but it makes a heck of an expensive thing for Western Europe generally.
Yeah, even though the authorities have said, look, it's too early to say for sure. Oh,
yes.
Kevin's rolling his eyes here. You know who did it, you're saying.
I couldn't prove it probably, but there are agencies who can point out, because it's happened before, ransomware comes from there. This wasn't a ransom case in that regard, but when you look at the numbers of people travelling to these places and the effects it has, for example, you know, people in the terminal can't get out, but they also can't process people coming back in again. So we have aircraft left on stands, which don't leave them vacant for the next, aircraft landing. You then have diversions because they can't get in there. Where do they go? And you're out of hours then with the crews very quickly. Mm. Long haul, short haul, and these airports have long haul and short haul. So it's a remarkably complex system, and it cannot be resolved even if you fix the software immediately within 3 or 4 hours. And this attack didn't last long, but it takes 24, 36, 48 hours, maybe even the best part of a week to put things back in place, proven time and again.
What is the cost of all of this?
Hundreds of millions. I mean, the version of an aircraft is at least $80,000 or euros in that regard. And I did hear on the way in here some complaints from passengers who were saying, hey, who pays for this? Because the passenger is ultimately a contractee with the airline, but of course they have to use the airport system as well, and the airlines may be saying, well, actually we didn't cause this problem, it's an airport problem, software problem. But it's not quite the case in that regard. If the aircraft are affected by the airline system, then there is compensation, but it's going to run and run and run, and people have been left unfortunately high and dry in certain airports where they didn't want to be.
Because obviously then it has a knock-on effect on, let's say, you get out of Dublin, okay, but you're flying into Heathrow for your connecting flight on.
Exactly the point,
and suddenly
Kira,
you're stranded over there.
Yes, and in that complex system, the airlines have to take time to work out how they do it, because, as I said, it's a finely tuned system. The turnarounds of the short-haul airlines is 25 minutes, and I've done that myself, I've checked it. You get in, you get the people off, you get them on again, and it's gone. If you disrupt that system in that regard, your whole day is gone, and then it has a huge effect on other operations. operations to other airports.
I read a stat on the BBC this morning. It was a report from French aerospace company Thales that cyber attacks in the aviation sector have increased by 600%.
Yes,
because over the past year alone.
Yes. Now, this was a particularly targeted effect. Can you imagine what would happen if an air traffic system itself, and it did happen in the UK recently where it failed, but if it was a hacking attack in that regard, the entire Western ecosystem of aviation may come to a halt and may grind there for 3 or 4 or 5 days. It is an extremely expensive thing. It doesn't cost lives because safety is fundamental, but it is a huge disruptive to the economy, and it's done because they can do it simply. You know, they're malevolent actors. They just want to point out and say, here we are.
I did a podcast recently on News Talk Daily, and we were looking at the different forms of warfare, and you think, I suppose, the domains of land.
Yes.
And sea.
And undersea.
And air.
And space.
But space and cyber is really the new frontier.
It
and
is.
Can be so disruptive because it's so globally and immediately disruptive. How do these companies guard against this?
Well, they put in people who actually have, you know, experience in hacking. They get in what you might call anti-hacking system to see, is there a soft problem? Have we got a back door here? Can we be taken down easily? Now, they use vast computer power to do it. But if there's a weakness there in the actual, you know, the software, and it hasn't been detected, there are people out there who will detect it for you. The trick is to get in there, put a patch in place, or have systems that are so fine and so well done that they can't be hacked. But there is no system, according to my experts, that cannot be hacked by somebody somewhere.
They're always trying to breach those systems.
Indeed they are.
Let's look at the other incident at Dublin Airport, which seems to be completely unconnected Indeed. To this cyber attack. And this was the evacuation of Terminal 2 on Saturday, where there seems to have been questions or a suspected, and it was just a suspected device in somebody's hand luggage. It turns out there was nothing to fear there. That was a false alarm.
Indeed. Well, of course, safety and security are a priority in Terminal 2. But I did courses years ago in emergency planning for airports and for airlines, slightly different courses, but they've got the same fundamental aspect to it. The one thing you do not want to do, believe it or not, is evacuate a terminal, because everyone thinks, and they saw the videos of it, there were thousands of people out in the car parks, in forming up points, on the roads, on the grass patches and that kind of thing. But it isn't just the passengers who have to be evacuated. Everybody who works in that particular terminal, except for the security elements of it, waiting for the army in this case probably, have to be evacuated. And that causes a huge knock-on effect because, like I've said before, you've got aircraft which have just arrived which can't be unloaded. Aircraft that want to go, which may have baggage on board, can take the passengers in that regard. Your airport fills up and you can't then, some case, land or park aircraft, and they miss their slots. And in some cases, I understand, aircraft went out, pushed back empty with baggage on board but no people, because they wanted to get that aircraft back to where it should go, because the knock-on effects would have been too severe if they left on the ground in Dublin.
And also all of the devices that you use to try and reorganise things and put structures back in place, you have to walk away from those. I presume you're back to your phone and a piece of paper and a printout.
And it's worse than that, Ciara, because of course nobody has the total picture of the goings on. In other words, the airlines who want to process you and get you out don't have information because they don't have screens. They're only on their mobile phones. So there's a limited amount of information. And by the way, how do you tell 300 people in a car park what's happening next from different airlines? There's simply communication failure in that regard. And the sooner they get them back in again, you know, it might take 5, 6, 7 hours or 12 hours in some cases to get systems up and running because they have been shut down. It's a very remote thing to do. It's something they don't want to do. But of course, they had to do it because there was an emergency to be dealt with, you know, security clearance in that regard.
Tom in Abbey Leaks, the News Talk, a listener has texted in. Chances are airport cyber attack is another Putin attack to check out our responses. And we've seen him in the air certainly checking out NATO's responses
Indeed.
In the last week. Is that what it is? He wants to see how we can respond.
Indeed, and it's so cheap. And of course, he can say, oh, it isn't me. It's nothing to do with me. It's you know, it's somebody, these criminals aren't in St. Petersburg. They don't work for me. I don't give them approval. But no one accepts that nowadays, unfortunately.
All right, look, we're going to have to leave it there, Kevin Byrne. Unfortunately, I think it's something we're going to see again in the future. And if you are planning on travelling today, do check out the website before you make that journey to any of the airports. Thanks so much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.